Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us. Welcome to Lunch with Leaders. I'm Cindy Morgan, the Vice President of Organizational Development and Learning, and welcome to Lunch with Leaders. Before we get started today, this week marked the one-year anniversary of COVID-19 across the United States and our first patient right here at Penn Medicine. Please join me in a moment of silence to reflect on this past year, keeping in mind the loved ones lost, the changes we had to make, the things we lost, what we gained, and the learnings that will carry us forward. Join me. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome, welcome, welcome. We have a really fun and different 20th show for you today. In the service of getting our conversation started, let me turn it over to our executive producer, Youngin Cho from PMA, to give you a couple of housekeeping items. Youngin, let me see your 80s look. You look so good. You have the side pony. I love E.T. and I love your side pony. I'm trying to be Madonna. If you couldn't tell, my big hair is, you know, probably very flammable. So thank goodness you don't have any matches.
Thank you, everyone, for joining Lunch with Leaders today and spending this hour with us. This show is going to be special. It's going to be different and fun. And it's time to, it's time to take a breather. And I hope you'll be pleasantly surprised by what you might learn from somewhere quite unexpected. So thank you to all those who sent us those fabulous 80s pictures. They were amazing. It's not too late. If you have any with you, you can still text them on the number on the screen. Like our holiday special, we're going to do some quiz. It's on the 80s pop culture. So please have your cell phones ready. And we have a number of visuals today. So at the bottom of your screen, there is a slide bar to adjust your views. So you might want to play around with that. And last but not least, I want to say a big thank you to Ray Rollins, CIO with IS, and his entire team, Joe, Mike, and all the moderators. Ray has been the technology mastermind behind Lunch with Leaders and going above and beyond. Like today, he was the DJ with all of the great 80s music. I hope you enjoyed it, and thank you, Ray. And now sit back and enjoy the program.
Thanks, Youngin, and thanks for all your hard work in making sure today was a success. So what's Lunch with Leaders? For those of you who've been here, welcome back. For newbies, welcome. This is a place where we can come together in community with other Penn Medicine leaders and share what's happening with us and be in community. If you like this show and you've missed a couple of back episodes, you can find recordings to the past sessions on the Lead Strong websites. Make sure you're telling your friends and share the links as you see fit. So today will be recorded and will be posted to the Lead Strong website as well. So if you like it, make sure you're telling everyone. So thanks so much for all your feedback on last time's show. People really appreciated Dr. Gallagher, Angela, Bob, and Craig. You may remember it was all about strategies for self-care. Weren't they so great? The participants really appreciated seeing these superhuman leaders have feelings just like they do. And they were so good, weren't they? And the show was very inspiring. I heard from superfan Tammy Montroy. She even booked a spa weekend and she's leaving right after today's show because she didn't want to miss Lunch with Leaders. Big shout out to Tammy. I wanted to also highlight Dr. Ellen Kim from Derm. Thanks, Elle, for your kind words. Oprah really did bring her A game on Sunday night, so I'm really going to have to step it up to keep pace with Oprah. I want to also shout out Lee Leibowitz, our new CAO for the Neurosciences Service Line. He told me that he likes Lunch with Leaders a lot because he can eat his lunch, take a couple of deep breaths, and watch the show all at one time. So big shout out to Lee, and congrats on the new promotion. We hang on every word of your feedback every single time. So please keep it coming. Thanks so much for engaging with us like that. All right, commercials, time for commercials. Here's my big question. Will you be there? The announcement just went out for our brand new Penn Medicine Book Club. And so many people were asking Kevin Mahoney, our CEO, what he was reading. It's been a perpetual question. And so we decided to start a book club with Kevin. So everyone can be reading together. And so our first book club will be on April 21st from 7 to 8 p.m. And it's open to all Penn Medicine employees. We really tried to be thoughtful because we know that there aren't that many good times during the day. People with children need to have some time in the evening, but then possibly could log back on to take part in our first conversation with Kevin and Mario Gullen from Wharton to discuss his book entitled How Today's Biggest Trends Will Collide and Reshape the Future of Everything. So the registration is open. If you register, you'll then have a book sent to you, or you can feel free to get the book from your library or other places where you want to read ebooks instead of a real book. Well, we can't wait for you to join us and have an engaging chat with Mario and Kevin. All right, second commercial. April 1st is looming. Be totally tubular and ensure that we hit the goal of high performance of 90% or higher on each of your teams for our unconscious bias training. As you can see, we're currently at 65.2%, which is really good. It's getting better, but we really want to make sure that everyone is taking the time to take this important course because it's the right thing to do, and we'd also really love to have high performance. So I also have really good news along the Knowledge Link front, our third and final commercial. Logging into Knowledge Link just got easier now. And we've heard your feedback over many years to say that we'd really love to use our regular Penn Medicine or LG credentials instead of having to rummage through to find your Penn key. And that day, your dream has come true. As of this week, you do not need to have your Penn key to log into Knowledge Link. Now listen, keep your Penn key. There's still things that you use that for. But with Knowledge Link, you now have a choice. So there's a job aid, FAQs to help you out. And let me just say, there are so many great Knowledge Link courses that stand the test of time, including emotional intelligence, communicating with empathy, and managing virtual teams. So a couple of commercials. And now let's talk about today's session because it's going to be awesome. So anyway, I was very excited about dressing like Madonna until I realized that, like, you know, when you're 50 trying to have big hair and dress like Madonna and you need to wear your reading glasses, like, it really doesn't have exactly the same effect. But what can I do? So I wouldn't be able to see the questions. Let me kick it off. I want to ask the audience, right as I'm going to review the objectives, I want you to hashtag describe the 80s in five words. Hashtag describe the 80s in five words. While you're doing that, I have a couple of cool statistics for you. If you were born in the 70s, like many of you may have been, if you were raised in the 80s, groomed in the 90s, made it to 2020, you have lived in two decades, two different centuries, and two different millennial, and many of you haven't even turned 50 yet. So it's kind of a cool stat. For me, 80s, middle school, high school, and the beginning of college, maybe my five words would quote Ferris Bueller, hey, life moves pretty fast. I think about a lot of the 80s trends, neon, yuppies, preppies, breakdancing, big hair, rap music, the beginnings of the internet, Atari. And believe it or not, my mom asked one of her friends of a friends of a friends with a Porsche to pick me up on my 16th birthday so I could live out my real life fantasy of 16 candles, which is really thoughtful and very sweet. But the guy was totally like 80 years old, or he was probably 40 at the time. But my 16-year-old self thought he was probably, you know, not Jake Ryan, but still the 80s. So when I think back on this time of great nostalgia, I just want to say that the 80s aren't perfect as we look back on them, and nor do all of the pop culture references, movies, TV. They don't always hold up through today's lens and kind of our awakening, and especially around diversity and inclusion and cultural sensitivities. I want to say that there's a lot we could say about looking backwards and how far we've come and how far we'll continue to go on some of these issues. But today, we're going to highlight the things that do hold up, the good moments, the good quotes. And our intent is to travel back in time to the 80s, discuss, as Youngin said, some unexpected learnings that shaped us in becoming the leaders and the people that we've become today. And hopefully you leave here feeling a bit refreshed and maybe a little inspired as well. So it is my deepest pleasure to introduce our guest, author Chris Clues. He is a speaker and author of the book series, What 80s Pop Culture Teaches Us About Today's Workforce. He combines 22 years of marketing experience in a variety of industries and his unmatched passion for all things 80s. Chris and I met in an elevator at a conference, and he had Corky's shoes on and a Goonies t-shirt, and I'm like, I have to be friends with this dude for certain. It turns out I had to speak right after Chris, and even though talent management at Penn Medicine is like so awesome of a topic, Chris was a really tough act to follow. So Chris, welcome. Thank you. I feel so lucky to have you here. Chris is in the eyes on.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Hey, Chris, hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing totally awesome. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to see everybody today. And in particular, I'm really excited to see people's pictures from the 80s. Mine were absolutely, some of them were absolutely horrendous. Thankfully, I don't have one in parachute pants. So yeah, it's great. And I'm coming to you from a Blockbuster, my hangout on Friday and Saturday nights.
I'm coming to you from Save Ferris because, you know, Ferris Bueller is everything. People are saying Pat Benatar, Brat Pack, Raising Kids, LA Gear, Camaros, Big Hair. Oh, my God, totally. Thanks, Kelly. My Childhood, the best. George Crowley went to Live Aid. That's pretty cool. Aerosmith. Some people were raising their kids in the 80s. That's great. High school, great music, best years, fluorescence, nice J, MTV, totally radical, thanks Zine, Crowley, The Cure, XS, great. So Chris, let's talk about some of these key lessons that you've taken and distilled from pop culture of the 80s. There are just so many quotes. I mean, I think about Nobody Puts Baby in a Corner from Dirty Dancing or Star Goose, It's Time to Buzz the Tower from Top Gun. Maybe even we're putting the band back together, the Blues Brothers. But what are your top five, Chris? Let's count them down. Can we start with number five?
Sure. And Dirty Dancing, of course, which I've never seen. So, and we can get on that topic later. So, yes, my number five comes from the movie The Outsiders. And just a little bit of nostalgia quickly, a little bit of history on the book itself. It was written by Essie Hinton when she was 16 years old. So if you think about that, she was writing the Great American Novel when she was 16 while I was playing Galaga in a mall arcade. So little different trajectories for both of us. In the book and in the movie, there are two gangs, the Stoches and the Greasers. And the Stoches are from the right side of the tracks, quote unquote, the Greasers from the wrong side of the tracks. And one of those Greasers is Johnny Cade, played by Ralph Macchio. And he says, you still have a lot of time to make yourself be what you want. And this was one of the core quotes for me to actually leave the corporate world, leave my marketing leadership position to chase this dream of becoming an author and a speaker. I was 47 years old, and I looked around. I said, I still have a lot of time to make myself be what I want. And this was a really, I even have it on a coffee mug, in fact, the coffee mug that I drink out of every morning. I have this quote. And what that really teaches us is that no matter your age or station in life, go create you. And what I say about this basically is, look, we all have really limited free time, especially today. Really limited free time. If you find that free time being captured by a passion or a hobby or an interest, and you're taking that valuable free time and you're doing the same thing over and over again, maybe take a look at it and say, hey, how maybe can I take this passion or hobby and turn it into a career? And so remember that no matter your age or station in life, go create you. Really, really important lesson from The Outsiders.
Thanks. I love The Outsiders. So this is an audience participation moment. Pull out your cell phones for me. We wanted to really test your mettle around 80s pop culture. So using your text, your cell phone, here's what I want you to do. I want you to text Penn Medicine, all one word, 918 to 22333. Gretchen has posted it in the chat. Thanks, G. You'll receive a response letting you know you're in a survey. And then if you have a problem, just let us know. All right, so we are going to have the 80s quiz. Are you ready? All right, first question. Which 1984 film starred Tom Hanks and Daryl Hannah? Was it A, Big, B, Splash, C, The Money Pit? You'll text Penn Medicine, and then you'll once you're in the chat, A, B, or C. All right. So far, Splash. Chris, tell me, you're the expert. What's the answer here?
Oh, yeah, the answer is definitely Splash.
All right. I'm on the top. All right, Chris. Thank you. All right, next question is, what's the name of Eddie Murphy's character in the Beverly Hills Cop film series? Eddie Murphy's. All right, let's see what we got. Axel Foley, A. Billy Rosewood, B. Victor Maitland, C. All right, this one we got some differentiation. Give it a minute. Give it a minute. All right. Chris?
Yeah.
Axel Foley is catching up. It's neck and neck. Billy Rosewood, Axel Foley. Chris, talk to me.
Axel Foley. Billy
Axel
Rosewood
Foley.
Was played by Billy Rosewood was Judge Reinhold.
Outstanding.
Played by Judge Reinhold.
So, excellent. So good job. I want you to give yourself 2 points for the ones that you get right, okay? And keep score. We'll have bragging rights in the chat after this. All right, I want to ask you in the audience, some of you have already put in your favorite movies from the 80s. What I want you to do is think about what are some of your own key quotes from these movies in the 80s that inspired you, things, lessons that you held on to from movies in the 80s. I would love to hear it in the chat. And while we're waiting for your answers, we loved the pictures from the 80s that you sent in. Thank you to everyone that sent in pictures. We wanted to kind of pull out a few that just feel so quintessential 80s. On the left, you see Debbie Foster from Communications. She is rocking the knee socks and real sass, which I love. And on the right, Allison Wilson Mayer. And she has the original Little People dolls. They were the Cabbage Patch precursor, plus those that hair is just absolutely adorable. We had to show those 80s pictures. We also have a link to the tent site where you texted all of your pictures so you can see every one of your pictures that came in. Gretchen will post that, which is awesome. So Gretchen, Better Off Dead, favorite movie, I want my $5. That's a good one. Alex likes Beach Street, $2, Gretch. I gave her my heart and she gave me a pen. That's Say Anything. That's a great one. All right, so Chris.
There's a great lesson there, by the way, with I gave her my heart and she gave me a pen about sometimes you give everything to a job or to a relationship and you ultimately just get a pen. And there's a really great lesson in there. Sometimes you get more than that, but that pen is very important because she gave it to him. And the idea was that was what she could give him to say, write me. Remember, it was 1989 and there was no internet, there was no email, so that pen was her way of saying, please continue to communicate with me. He took it in a very different way, but of course she was reaching out and saying, you know, to write it, write her. Make sure to write her.
Thanks. All right, give me your number four.
So number four, love this movie. In fact, Coming to America 2 just came out on Amazon Prime Friday night. And this was kind of a throwaway line in the movie. If you saw the movie, this may not have been one that jumped out at you or that you repeat when you're talking about the movie, but it's a really important one. So just a little quick background, Prince Akeem, played by Eddie Murphy, he's born into royalty and he wants to find his own way. And he goes to Queens, New York to find it with his buddy, Semi, played by Arsenio Hall. And he takes a job at a fast food restaurant, McDowell's, and it's an entry level position. And he says, when you think of garbage, think of Akeem. He sweeps the floors, he takes out the garbage and he's very proud of this position. When you think of garbage, think of Akeem. And when he says this quote, he really teaches us an important lesson about earned leadership and unearned leadership. So when he was born into royalty, he had this role only by birth, of course. It was an unearned position, unearned leadership. And because of that, everybody just wanted to please him. But then he went to McDowell's, the fast food restaurant. He took an entry-level job, sweeping the floors, and he earned his leadership position. Right? So you, when you think of garbage, you think of Akeem. He earned his leadership. And the difference here is between unearned leadership creates pleasers. So when you have a leader that has not earned the position, a lot of times they create pleasers. People don't know how to act around them, and they may not know how to act as a leader. So there's a lot of kind of eggshell walking, as we say. And unearned leadership creates pleasers. Everybody just says, yes, okay, okay. Earned leadership creates believers. This is a really important lesson, I believe, in the idea of earned leadership. So think about it in two ways. Number one is we look at somebody who's earned their way, and we believe in them, because we can see their track record. That's number one. Number two is it creates an environment in your organization where people can look to somebody and say, hey, I can do that too. I can actually get to that position because I've seen the path that's been created by this person who's earned their way. So it's important for us to see that people have earned their position. We believe in them, but it's also important for organizations as well, for their employees to see that people have earned their way. And that ultimately creates believers.
Thanks. That's a good one, Chris. Coming to America did just get released last week on Amazon Prime. So if you're interested, check it out. I see that Kathleen watched it. It holds up. There are some really funny and cute moments. So, oh, Noelle, she can say a lot of quotes from Coming to America. That's awesome. That's a good one. All right, let's go back to the quiz. So cell phones out again. Let's go culture. We did movies. Let's do culture. All right, Babyland General Hospital was the birthplace of which popular children's doll? Was it A, Strawberry Shortcake, B, Polly Pocket, or C, Cabbage Patch Kids? Should I hum the Jeopardy theme song? Babyland General Hospital. Elizabeth Ross liked your unearned leaders creates pleasers, earned leaders creates believers. It resonates for her. All right, let's see. 100%. Awesome. Cabbage Patch Kids, Strawberry Shortcake, a couple, Babyland General. Andy Gordon, dearly beloved, we're gathered here to celebrate this thing called life. Awesome. I like it.
We'll talk about that later.
We will. Gretchen loved the smell of the Strawberry Shortcake doll. All right, the answer is C, Cabbage Patch Kids. Good job, 2 points. All right, next culture one. In the WrestleMania 1985, who was Hulk Hogan's tag team partner in the main match? Was it A, Randy Savage, B, Mr. T, C, Ric Flair? Peter, is that like holding over from the Cabbage Patch doll answer? I think it might be. Or maybe people think it's Ric Flair. You think so, Pete? All right, let's see. Randy Savage, Mr. T, Ric Flair. Who was in WrestleMania with Hulk Hogan? Chris, you want to guess?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Ric Flair, but I could be wrong here because I was an Andre the Giant fan, but I didn't actually watch a lot of Hulk Hogan. I know that's really bad to say. Thunderlips in Rocky
Three. Totally fine. I'm really glad that we at Penn Medicine have upheld our own virtue here. It is Mr. T. We have stumped the expert. Mr. Yes. T was Hulk Hogan's tag team partner. 2 points for every question that you got right, everyone.
And I should have known that because Rocky Three was Hulk Hogan and Mr. T as well, and Hulk Hogan played Thunderlips.
That's true. That's very good. All right, so that was good. Let me ask the audience, what's a saying that kids nowadays will never know? What's a saying from the 80s that kids nowadays will never know? Well, we're waiting for you to hear that or to share your answers. I want to show a couple of more pictures. So we had to highlight 80s pictures of our past Lunch with Leaders guests. We've got Craig Lowndes, Bob Challender, both sporting the mustache, Laura Porter with some shoulder pads, Beth Johnston. She looks exactly the same. God bless you, Beth. Tammy, Mon, Mike Posenchag. He has some lovely locks back then. Our own Gretchen Kolb and Carolyn Houston with some big hair twinsy. Love it. So thanks for sending in your pictures and thanks for your continued support of Lunch with Leaders. All right, things people are never going to have their kids understand. Where's the beef? Good one. Oh, be home when the street lights come on. Good one, Jen. Hold on, I have call waiting. Love it. Walkman. Big Mac attack. Yo, word. Roll up the windows. That's a good one.
This is drugs. I love that one. This is your brain on drugs. Yeah, that's great.
What time is that show on, Jason? Totally. Gag me with a spoon, Katie Gray. I have to flip the tape on the message machine. Plus, press play and record at the same time. Susan, Craig's picture is so good, isn't it? All right. Chris, let's take it to number three. What's your third best quote?
So, Mr. Miyagi, the wise and wonderful Mr. Miyagi, and This quote is, I think, a really, really important one, particularly for today. And so when he's teaching Daniel karate, one of the things that he says, he's teaching him discipline and patience along the way, of course. And he says, don't forget to breathe, very important. And he teaches that, he says this to him when he's he's really teaching them about the art of karate, and it's as much mental as it is physical. And so he says this, and when I immediately thought about this in the context of stress. And so there's a lot of stress around all of us today, of course, and particularly all of you, very stressful year. And I think sometimes we forget to breathe. And breathe can mean a lot of things. Breathe can mean take your dog for a walk, play with your kids, have a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, maybe even go for a jog. There's a lot of definitions for the word breathe. And so I think about this in the context of stress. And I say that stress is very important, or stress is like dehydration. Once you realize you have it, it's too late. And for me, I've had dehydration. And if I look back at the day that I had dehydration, I could see all of the signs. Looking back, all of the things I did on that particular day were absolutely going to lead to dehydration. If I just would have stepped in at one point during that day and said, okay, wait a minute, I need to drink some water here, or I need to take a step back, I likely wouldn't have had that dehydration. And the same goes for stress. We don't realize we have it until it's too late. It builds, and suddenly we're there and we have that stress. And this is really important as well when it comes to your team. If you're a leader, recognizing when your team members need to breathe and letting them know that it's okay, that there's space to breathe. And if they need to do that, to just say, hey, I need a breath. I need to take a break. That's really, really important, particularly in the last year. And of course, moving forward from today. So remember that, you know, stress is really like dehydration. Once you realize you have it, it's too late. And just like dehydration, stress can sometimes take several days to get over. I mean, we think that we're beyond it because the moment's done, but that's actually not the reality of it. And so I think the idea of breathing, whatever that is to you, it can mean a lot of different things, is really important. If it was just about breathing, and we do it involuntarily, thankfully, because if we had to think about breathing, I probably wouldn't be standing in front of you at this point in my life. So.
Well, and I would just say healthcare executives, like so many watching today, they're perpetually dehydrated because they're running from meeting to meeting, patient to patient. They're seeing all sorts of people during the day. It's like really hard. So I think that's a great one.
Yeah,
have
thanks.
A tie and, there, or should we do another one?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we have a tie here. Yeah, go ahead.
You.
Yeah, so one of my favorite characters from the 80s is Ellen Ripley, Sigourney Weaver. Awesome, awesome role. Played in Alien, Aliens, all of the Aliens movies. Fantastic leader. Strong, forceful, no-nonsense, decision-making leader when the end of the world is near. And she's watching everything kind of collapse around her, her team members being destroyed and eaten by this alien that's on the spaceship. And they're really trying to find a way out. And all of the people, nobody really has the ability to make the right decisions or the strength to make the tough decisions when it comes down to minutes and seconds that they have. And at one point in the movie Aliens, they are looking at how they're going to get away from the aliens. And she says, let's just nuke the entire facility. And of course, there's questions raised about this. That's a multi-million-dollar, which would be, I guess, multi-billion-dollar today, facility. We can't just nuke it. We can't just destroy this. We have to think about this. And she says, they can bill me. That's her line. They can bill me. Ultimately, this is a very, very strong leader, right? And what we learned about strong leaders from Ellen Ripley is that they don't waver. They will always take decisive action to protect their team, regardless of the personal consequences they may ultimately face. And this is really important. I think it's very easy to lead when you think that when you know that there's not going to necessarily be personal consequences to your decisions. But as a leader, that's the whole idea. You're a leader because you are ready and willing to take on the tough decisions and then face any personal consequences that may come along. And Ellen Ripley is an amazing example in 80s movies and 80s pop culture of a strong leader that didn't waver and was really willing to take the personal consequences after the fact.
Thanks, Chris. I love that one. So the chat is on fire. Tim Naylor and George Crowley are having a discussion around the Columbia Record House. You remember eight for a dollar, or eight for a penny. George is on fire going to the Vet Stadium in the Phillies 1980s World Series. I think that might have been, you know, when the Phillies were good. All right, let's go back to the quiz, Chris. I love that story. Let's go back to the quiz. So cell phones out. This one is a really personal question because who had a hit with Jesse's girl? Jesse Thomas, you are our girl in PMA HR. Was it Bruce Springsteen, Rick Springfield or Wham? Who had a hit with Jesse's Girl? Jesse is our friend. When we were interviewing Jesse Thomas, we would all sing that song. And Chris Klock, at the time, was on our team. He actually thought I wrote that and made it up just like as a jingle. But really, it was, all of you have it right, Rick Springfield. Excellent. All right, next question. 2 points if you got it right. A lot of you did. Which actress featured in Bruce Springsteen's Dancing in the Dark music video? Looks like that answer didn't clear because we still had a lot of people answering. Was it Courteney Cox, Drew Barrymore, or Sally Field? Who starred in Dancing in the Dark? You can remember the great dance moves of her on the stage. Give it a minute.
Launched a pretty good
Chris,
career.
You know that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
it really did. He's really a great friend also. And all of you got it right, except for a couple with Drew Barrymore, one with Sally Field. Courteney Cox, go back and watch it. She's just so fresh-faced and young, and this is pre-Friends. It was amazing. Maybe that's a good segue. Let's ask the audience, what are your favorite songs from the 80s, and why do they stick with you, or what are the lyrics that you still hold on to? Or if you're going to revisit a little nostalgia from that time period, what are the songs that you play? And while we wait for some of your answers, I think we got a couple more pictures. Let's take a look. George Ayoub from PPMC Nursing. He was going to his prom in that awesome 80s car, his theme song, Sea of Love by Robert Plant. And Fern from Radonk. She was living in London, and in that picture with her awesome hair, she was on her way to see The Cure in London. Great hair. Love the 80s. That is awesome. Anything from Journey, Take on Me, every song, Purple Rain, If by Brett. Oh, that's a good one. I think we sang that in chorus.
Hey, Cindy.
That's good. Yeah, Chris.
Now that we're talking about theme songs from the prom, this would be a good time for me to tell the quick story that I told you about. You know, being an 80s guy and consuming 80s pop culture, there's one movie that I haven't seen from the 80s. I mentioned it earlier at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
And right? And I'm a huge, huge Patrick Swayze fan, massive Patrick Swayze fan. But I have not seen Dirty Dancing. And there's a reason behind it. And it reminded me when I saw the theme song Sea of Love. The theme song from my senior prom was I Had the Time of My Life from Dirty Dancing. I had to hear it 150 times that night. It was on the glassware, all the favors that we had. I wanted Motley Crue Home Sweet Home as our senior prom song, and unfortunately I lost, and so we ended up with I Had the Time of My Life. So I have night terrors about that song, and I still haven't seen the movie. I've seen the making of the movie. I named my dog after a Patrick Swayze character, Bodie from Point Break, but I still have not seen Patrick Swayze in Dirty Dancing.
So did you have the time of your life at the prom that night, despite the theme song?
I did. I had a fantastic time. But every time the song came on, I just wanted to hide.
Oh, well, I think many of us feel that way. Chris, give me your number two. Give me your number two.
So my number two, yeah, so this is great. Awesome. I love this lesson. A lot of times I say something's my favorite, but this for me, as I've been discovering these lessons, this is my favorite lesson. And for several reasons. Number one is I love Prince and I love Suzanne Vega, and I always have. I listened to a lot of different music, but I listened to a lot of alternative in the 80s. And Suzanne Vega was great, great alt singer in the 80s. And Prince, of course, in 1987, Prince was the king of music. I know that people say Michael Jackson was the king of pop, but Prince was the king of music. If you know a little more about his background, how many instruments he played, the songs that he was writing for Sinead O'Connor, Nothing Compares to You, for the Bangles, Manic Monday, he was doing all of this beyond just entertaining us on the stage. And so in 1987, Suzanne Vega was an alt singer. She had a song called Left of Center. And then she came out with a song, My Name is Luca. I live on the second floor. I live upstairs from you. That's all the singing you're going
to
get from me.
Chris?
No, you don't want me to sing it. Not good, not good at all. So I would do her a major injustice. So it's a really serious song, actually, about child abuse, about a child who lived above her in her complex. And the song just exploded. It really, really put her on the map for people that weren't just alt alternative song listeners. And Prince heard the song. He was so moved by it that he penned this handwritten note you can see to her. And it said, "Dearest Suzanne, Luke is the most compelling piece of music I've heard in a long time. There are no words to tell you all the things I feel when I hear it. I thank God for you, Prince." And I mean, first of all, amazing. Secondly, magical handwriting, which is to be expected, I guess. Third, he was using numbers for words in 1987. So maybe he was a time traveler as well, right? Who knows? And then, of course, this handwritten note. 1987, there was no digital means to get anything to anyone. He had to hand deliver this to her, or at least find somebody, say, hey, make sure you get this to her. And it got to her. And how do we know it? In 2016, when he passed away, Suzanne Vega put this on her social media to let people know the kind of guy that Prince was behind the scenes. And so we knew him as this great entertainer, but what we didn't know were some of the things that he did behind the scenes. And he never went to the media and said, hey, look what I'm doing. He just did it. And so this, I love, love, love this lesson on so many levels. And what it teaches us, is it teaches us two lessons. Well, the first is the difference between those that rule and those that lead. Leaders share the stage of success. No matter how big that stage is, when leaders get that stage, they share it. Rulers keep everybody below it because, you know, they're a little insecure. That's why they're a ruler. They just want to keep everybody at arm's length. They don't want to share that stage. Leaders share the stage of success. They say, hey, I see you doing something great. I want to share this stage. Come up here with me. Let me share it with you. And the second part of it that he taught us was that encouragement doesn't cost a thing. And I think that's a really important lesson. There's some times in life where we can't give a bonus or a raise or a promotion, but we can always give encouragement. Encouragement doesn't cost a thing. And, you know, I actually put this out on my Twitter feed as this lesson about the difference between those that lead, those that rule, and those that lead. And Suzanne Vega liked it. So that was a really cool moment for me that she saw this in that handwritten note as well. And by the way, the handwritten note is a lost art. And with a lot of people working virtually right now who have never done that before and they're missing the camaraderie of the office, a handwritten note from the leader or even just from another team member that says, hey, I see you. I see you doing something great, and I just wanted to let you know, could go a really, really, really long way.
Thanks, Chris. I think a lot of people love that lesson. It's a great differentiation. Share the stage, power of positive feedback. We talk a lot in HR, PMA, around giving positive feedback, and that's feedback also. It's not just what can make you better, but these things can really have such an impact, and all it does is take a bit of time and thoughtfulness. I love that one.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the 3-point bonus question on the quiz. This is our last quiz question because this hour is just whipping by. All right, last question, 3 points. Thank You for Being a Friend was the theme song for which TV show? Thank You for Being a Friend.
Oh, yeah.
Family Ties, Golden Girl, Three's Company. Looks like everyone knows it, Chris. Golden Girls it is.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyone who had a perfect score, I'd love to see your bragging in the chat. And for those of you who may not have, or for those of you who have a perfect score, I'd love to know, what did you learn from the 80s? What are the experiences that you had during that decade that really helped you become the leader that you are? Would love to hear that in the chat. While we're waiting for your response, I would love to show a couple of last pictures. Oh, actually, not last pictures. Kelly Wilson from LG acid wash jeans with her family. Melanie, Pen for People Project. She was trying to channel her inner Madonna, me too, Melanie, with her curly perm and fluorescence. Love it. Kylie from our team in HR PMA. She was just born. You got to love that picture of that cutie and her dad. So love these pictures. I'm so glad you sent them in. So let's see. Quite a few people got 100%. Cindy Morrissey, Marie, Tammy, love it. See, Zine, if you threw a party, invited everyone you knew. Zine, thank you for quoting the Golden Girls. Love it. Karen, perfect score. Allison Apple, good one. Kelly, I'm sorry you missed one, but your picture really gives you extra credit. Kathleen, nice job. Ratonia, excuse me, perfect score. Excellent. Awesome. All right, Chris, should I do a drum roll for your number one lesson from the 80s? Give it to me.
So this one actually comes from, again, The Outsiders. As you can tell, I really love this. And a quick note about The Outsiders, by the way. The Outsiders' house was in disarray. It's in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And Danny Boy O'Connor, who you may know from House of Pain back in the day, he loved The Outsiders growing up, and he restored The Outsiders' house. And it's now a museum dedicated to The Outsiders and pop culture as well. So as things clear here, and if you're a big 80s pop culture fan and a big Outsiders fan, Tulsa, Oklahoma, The Outsiders' house has been restored. It's really, really cool. And they show The Outsiders movie on the lawn. It's awesome. So The Outsiders, we talked earlier about that. Now, you may recognize some of the guys here. Emilio Estevez going from kind of, the Mickey Mouse left to right. Emilio Estevez, Rob Lowe, C. Thomas Howe, Matt Dillon, Ralph Macchio, Patrick Swayze, and Tom Cruise, clearly pre-dental work. Absolutely. If you can see that picture.
That's a powerhouse group.
Yeah, clearly powerhouse. Pre-dental work for Tom Cruise. Powerhouse, yeah, absolutely. So we're going to go back to Johnny Cade for this one, and I really love this one. So in the movie, Johnny Cade takes Pony Boy under his wing, played by C. Thomas Howe, takes Pony Boy under his wing. And he does this because Pony Boy is kind of very introverted, not the type of kid that would typically join a gang. And Johnny Cade takes him under his wing, and he protects him. Now, they get into a fight with Associates. Associates gets stabbed, and he's going to die. And Johnny Cade has done this, of course. And so Johnny Cade and Pony Boy go on the run. And they're hiding in a church, and they go out to grab something to eat. They come back, and the church is on fire. And there's kids stuck inside. And Johnny Cade says, I'm going to do something right for the first time in my life. And he runs inside the church and he saves the kids. But in the process, he's severely burned and he's going to die. And in the hospital, he writes this note, a handwritten note, to Pony Boy. He'd written a lot of it before, I think, kind of seeing something like this may happen to him. And in it, one of the things that he says is, stay gold. And it comes from a Robert Frost poem, Nothing Gold Can Stay. It's a really great poem, 45 seconds of your time. I highly recommend it, about life, about birth, life, death, and rebirth. Stay gold. And the idea here was, he was telling him, stay who you are. Don't change for anybody. Stay on point. Stay focused. Get out of the life that we're in. You can do something better. Just make sure you stay focused and don't let things get to you from the outside. And I think this is a really important lesson for leaders, this idea of staying gold, that true leaders keep their ethical and moral compass intact, even sacrificing themselves to ensure that their team, employees, or family are protected from whatever is ailing the workplace. And this is really, really important, I think, because it's easy to be a leader when things are going well. It's when times are tough, when things aren't going well, where true leaders stand out. And unfortunately, we see a lot of leaders fail when that happens. We see that. We've all seen this kind of the quote-unquote proverbial circular firing squad, everybody pointing fingers at everyone when something goes wrong. True leaders will stand up, take responsibility, as we talked with Ellen Ripley, for example, regardless of the consequences. But they'll keep those ethical and moral compasses intact. And this is so important because when your team members move on, or when they become leaders themselves, or when you move on, what they're going to remember is how you reacted when things weren't going well, those tough times. What did you do? This is going to be your legacy. And this is how people are going to remember you. Not when things were going well, when anybody can be a leader, but when things were going tough, how did you respond? Did you step up? Did you come up with solutions? Did you happen to even have to maybe sacrifice yourself to protect the workplace, to protect the company, and to protect those team members that are so, so important? And so I think this is really important. Stay gold. It's easy to remember. It's just two words. Stay gold. Your legacy is going to be made as a leader on how you reacted when things weren't going well. And that's what people are going to pass along about you as they move on in their careers.
Chris, I love The Outsiders too. It was my favorite book in sixth grade, and the movie came out right around the same time. I fell madly like in puppy love with C. Thomas Howell, aka Pony Boy Curtis. He was just the dreamer. He was the one to recite the Robert Frost poem, which Gretchen put in the chat. Thanks, Jay. He stood by his friends. He stood by his family. Like, I loved C. Thomas Howell. Like, to the point where I taped the movie on a cassette so I could listen to it at any time that I wanted. So I bought every Tiger Beat magazine on the rack. I cut out his pictures. They hung on my bedroom walls, maybe even a couple on my ceiling. For my 50th birthday, my best friend since fifth grade, she was so excited. She got me the most thoughtful gift, a C. Thomas Howell cameo message. And let me just say, if anyone told 12-year-old Cindy Morgan that one day C. Thomas Howell would send me a personal message, and I'm not even lying, he then slid into my DMs on Insta, swear it, I probably wouldn't have made it to today into my 50s. I probably would have died right there on the spot. Age does have some benefits, except, maybe the reading glasses. So I wanted to just show you C. Thomas Howell now, because he's still gold.
Miss Cindy, C. Thomas Howell, but you can call me Tommy. How are you, love? Your amazing friend Kim.
Whoa.
How are you, love? Your amazing friend Kim contacted me just to let me know you're turning 50. And I got some.
How good is he that he
Yes.
still has it? C. Thomas Howell, amazing. Love it. All right, I want to
$50.
ask the, 50 is pretty good too. And he sort of holds up with the stay gold. I'm going to try to stay gold in this decade as well. All right, let me ask the audience, what advice would your today self give your 80 self based on your 40 years of accumulated wisdom? What advice would your today self give your 80 self based on your 40 years of accumulated wisdom? While we're waiting for you to answer that, Mike Posenchag, he's old. Yeah, Tommy is old. By the way, that was me in my room. Can you just go back, Peter? This was me in my room with my friends, yucking it up, a real introvert there, with all the pictures on my wall of C. Thomas Howell. I'm so not even lying how boy crazy I was about him. All right, Peter, thank you. Let's here are the final pictures that we picked out. Again, go to Tint to see all of the accumulated pictures. Susan Crowe, I love you. Thanks for sharing this picture. The mullet, the acid wash to go to homecoming. You look like Kelly from Saved by the Bell, and your date looks like Zach Morris. It's so 80s. I love it. Caroline from Derm, big hair, don't care. You go, girl. You are gorgeous then, same now. Thank you for sending these pictures in. All right, I'm seeing don't sweat the small stuff. Loosen up. Be yourself. Don't worry about what others think. Travel more. Live more simply. Always be kind. Stop trying to fit in. Your uniqueness is your superpower. Life moves pretty fast, Andy Gordon. Gonna get better. Thanks, Mike Feldman. Big hair never looks good on anyone. And some of us, I think, did okay with some of the big hair, but it just does not hold up. You're right. Trust
And
yourself, young
the
folks.
guy in Susan's the guy in Susan's picture clearly was using Sun In, if you remember that,
Oh,
system,
yeah.
or lemon
It
juice
has
or
a little
something in
orange
his hair.
tint. That's awesome. Chris, what advice would you give yourself, your today self, give yourself back then? Anything that comes to your mind?
Yeah, of course it comes from a movie, and it comes from one of my favorite actors, and that is from Dead Poets Society and Robin Williams, who played John Keating, and he told the kids, no matter what anybody tells you, words and ideas can change the world. And I think if I look back on the 80s and I think about if I had words and ideas and I wanted to change the world, the best I could probably do was pen a little article in the Community Times, which was my local paper in my little town. And I'd be lucky if maybe 23 people actually read it. But now, today, in 2021, you have right in the palm of your hand the ability to share your words and ideas, and you do have the ability to change the world. So I think looking back for me, I would say that this is what I would tell myself. No matter what anybody tells you, words and ideas can change the world, because I think when we're teenagers, we don't believe that. We don't think that we can actually make a difference. We're constantly fighting ourselves and trying to figure things out, and I think we don't realize that. And I hope that the younger generations today realize that they actually can, and they have a lot more influence than we could have had back in the 80s, just based on the fact that in the palm of their hand, they have a machine that allows them to share their words and ideas.
I love that one. Words, my drug of choice always. My mom was a high school English teacher and taught me the love of words and reading really early. A lot of people, oh, Tammy, oh, Captain, my Captain, amen. Buy Apple, buy Microsoft. Those were some advice. Don't let others dictate your self-worth. Parents aren't as dumb as you might think they are. My mom was more right than I ever gave her credit for, so listen more. Don't
Don't
worry,
worry,
be
be happy.
happy. I like that one. The grades aren't that important. Grad school, Susan needs to hear that too. Susan, I'm with you on that. I want to validate that one. All right, so that was awesome. I love those lessons. So, Chris, how'd you get into this work? You kind of shared a little of your story. I would love to hear a little bit more. How'd you become an 80s pop culture guru?
Yeah, so I was actually, I did marketing for a long time. I was in marketing leadership for a long time, and I still love marketing. I have a huge passion for it. But I was at in a job that just wasn't really working for me. And I came home and I was having a self-pity party of one on my couch. And I turned on The Breakfast Club. And John Bender, the character played by Judd Nelson, says, "Screws fall out all the time. The world's an imperfect place." And it just kind of resonated with me because my screws had fallen out. And I was looking at it and thinking, do I just put the screws back in the way they were? Do I get a whole new set of screws? Maybe I get an entirely new door frame and door and set of screws and walk through that door to a whole new path and a whole new world. And that's what I decided to do. And so I wrote this article on what The Breakfast Club teaches us about the workplace. And I had a lot of response. It was on LinkedIn. I had a great response to it. So I wrote one on Ferris Bueller and work-life balance. Shocking that that would be a lesson from Ferris Bueller and work-life balance. And then The Outsiders, as I mentioned, you still have a lot of time to make yourself be what you want. That was really the moment that made me jump. And so I had a full-time job. I was traveling a lot. And at night from, we'll call it 11 o'clock to 2 or 3 in the morning, I would write. And I wrote this book, What 80s Pop Culture Teaches Us About Today's Workplace. It was only 80 pages. I mean, very, very short kind of, I look back and I say it's fun and it's silly. There's some decent, I think, good lessons in there. But I didn't really expect much from it. I put it on Amazon. People started buying it. And I said, well, maybe I'll build a website and I'll position myself as a speaker. And so I did that. And I started getting booked for speaking gigs. That's how Cindy and I met. And I realized maybe I could do a little bit more with this. So I wrote a second book. And I had a small publisher for that that helped me write the book. And it's a much bigger one. I call the first book kind of an appetizer. The second one is the full meal. You know, 80 pages for the first one probably would have been in a Spencer's Gifts back in the day. The second one maybe hopefully would have been in Walden Books. A little more, a little thicker, 220 pages. Really great lessons. Each one has 10 movies. And so that's how I got into it. And then I made a decision I was going to leave the corporate world. And I made that decision based on a date. I said, I'm not going to think about what I have or if I'm ready. I'm going to say, this is the date, and that's the date I'm leaving. And it was June 30th. And I said, June 30th of 2019, that's my day. And I informed my job at the time, June 1st, that my last day was June 30th. And that was it. And I was off and running. And it's been an exciting adventure ever since.
Congrats, Chris. We're just so happy with your expertise and that you were our guest today. So at this point in the show, we always ask for one recommendation on something that has brought you joy, energy, rejuvenation. I'd love to hear in the chat a recommendation on anything that you've seen that you want to recommend or anything that you've done that has brought you joy. Chris, any recommendations that you have maybe while people are writing in 1 minute or less?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I wanted a legacy as well, and I'm a huge animal rescue advocate. And so I actually donate a portion of the proceeds from my speaking gigs and book sales to the SPCA International because they do really great work. And I met the director at an event, and I just loved their work. And so that was really important to me. And then, of course, I walk the walk as well. I have a rescue pit mix. His name is Bodhi. He is 13 months old now. He was found on the street at 3 months old, basically paralyzed. I saw a video of him trying to walk for the first time, and I said, that's my guy. And he brings me joy every single day, no matter how I'm feeling, no matter what's going on in my life. I just look at him and I smile, and all he wants to do is make me happy, and I want to make him happy. And I think that's, for me, what brings me joy.
Thanks, Chris. I love that answer, as do many in the chat. So I'd love to hear anything you have that's brought you joy. Chris, If our audience needs more Chris Clues in their life, let me just say, audience, make sure you're buying his books. You can friend him on social, talk him up. Chris, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for all the great insights and tips and helping us with this walk down memory lane. Truly, it's just been so fun to partner with you. And if you haven't, again, friend Chris on social, you can see all of his handles there, as well as his books, What 80s Pop Culture Teaches Us About Today's Workplace, 2 books there. Chris, thank you so much. Let me set up our next show. We will be talking to Dr. Mike Parmasek and Tom Gakis from the Department of Medicine, and we're going to take on a really interesting topic, building powerful pairs. So often here at Penn Medicine, we have such success in dyads. And so we're going to get a behind-the-scenes glimpse from the two of them and what makes their partnership work. When we asked for some 80s pictures, just have to show you our 80s guy, Tom Gakis. If we can bring up his picture, Peter, how great is that shot of Tom in the 80s? So please don't miss it. March 25th, 12 p.m., I will have regular hair and regular makeup and no 80s gear, but it will still be fun. So We have a great lineup of Lunch with Leaders for the next few months. Continue to tune in. And again, let me give you a couple of reminders. You can have all of our past recordings on the Lead Strong site. They have slides. You can have a podcast. You can have all the useful tools. We would love your feedback on today's show, as well as topics you'd like to see in the future. Complete the post-link survey that G will post into the chat. If you want CME or CE credits for attending the session, you can. Don't forget to exit the poll. And as always, I want to say thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you all for your leadership, for everything that you continue to do during these challenging times. And to close, if I could channel Arnold in the Terminator, I'll be back. Bye, everyone. Have a great afternoon. Thanks again.